We welcome you back to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking about subjects of interest to pastors who want to learn how to preach more effective, life-transforming sermons. So let's review, David, our previous discussions to set up what we want to talk about this visit.
I think, Dean, the easiest way would be to talk sermon/service. I would like to get ministers to think that way. When I finish my sermon, that's not the whole of it. I need to think sermon/service, because it's a whole hour, hour and 15 minutes, whatever, and that should be one unit. It all should center in some way around what my sermon is. I need to get my sermon early enough started so I know the subject and response, and then I need to either myself or with help build the whole service around that so that everything is coordinated. Or otherwise, we get all disjointed parts that don't have meaning to people. And after a while, they kind of come, and if they like the music, they like the music, you know, but it's not impacting. It ought to have the biggest impact, and in order to have the biggest impact, all those things should relate together and show good planning.
So we're talking, in a sense, again, about this dreaded word production. And we're not leaving out the Holy Spirit, because we're drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit to plan all of these elements and integrate them together, all the creativity of all the different people that may be called upon to work to bring the service together with the sermon. So by way of review, what were the three service parts we were talking about that help pastors understand the whole of the service as an entirety, and the kind of, and if you will, kind of emphasize part three to establish where we are in our discussion?
Okay, and these are not the way, if you say take all of the services of church across the country, they don't fit into this pattern. I just found that I had to get something that everybody could agree to as far as being able to talk about putting a service together. So I divided it into the approach to God in worship, second part, God speaking through his written word, and the third one, which is the one you said emphasizes the response of obedience. So we've, as a congregation, spoken to God in worship. We've heard God speak to us through his written word, through a sermon, through scripture, through whatever. And now we've come to the third part, which is the response of obedience. And we're just using those three to be able to talk about things. And then you adapt to your own situation, how you put a service together and so on. All right?
Sounds fair. Now, if the sermon calls for a clear response, why can't you just end the service there?
Well, it's because it usually takes a number of hits to get people to respond in the desired fashion, and to expect the sermon to do the whole job is expecting a whole lot from it. I mean, the advertisers, if you'd say, why don't you just have one good ad, buy a whole minute on radio, and then say, okay, that's taken care of. Well, that doesn't work that way. You know, it takes a long time for people to hear what you want your message to be. So I would say do it through the sermon and do it through many other ways as well.
Okay, but Jesus just preached and there were no other elements to help him.
This is a funny question. You come out of left field for that one. I would say if I could do miracles like Jesus, I would think that my sermons would have a huge impact, and they would say, man alive, that guy just healed 45 people, and I don't know how he did that. I'm going to listen to what he says, but I don't have that miracle performing ability,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, the obvious answer to the question is no preacher preaching today is Jesus.
That's
so
right.
Obviously, that Jesus didn't have the other elements. But yet, in
you know,
a sense,
and Jesus wasn't in church services either.
That's right.
I mean, he sometimes spoke in the synagogue, but not that often. And even then, he chose texts that were very, or he inherited texts that were very appropriate. You know, that text is being fulfilled in front of you this very day.
One of the things that's interesting, there's a couple of video gospels available where they portray Jesus as speaking the actual words of Scripture. And one of the things I've noticed in a lot of the video, they're showing Jesus in very common, ordinary circumstances, but he often will either pick a child up or pick an animal up or stand by a tree, or he'll do something, which we don't think about that aspect of it when we read the Gospels. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Jesus did use the elements that were at hand as enhancements to what he was actually saying. So it's not totally true that Jesus didn't have other elements to help him. He didn't have the choir. He didn't have some of the other things that we have available
he
today.
Probably to his advantage that he didn't take offerings. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he also used contemporary events that were happening to get his attention. I mean, he said, when the tower fell and killed some of your people, you know, he's talking about current events that were happening. So, but I would say if I didn't have any of his abilities except the miracle one, I think I would have all that I need to get people to listen very closely.
Well, it would certainly seem that that would be the case. Okay, how do we underscore, or how does a pastor underscore the response he or she wants in a way that isn't preaching?
Well, I can give you just different ideas, okay? The response of obedience, how do you underscore that? I would say one way to underscore it, and it's not used nearly enough, and it's even more powerful than preaching often, and that is testimony. So I've told you what I've been saying, but I want you to hear from someone who's not a minister, but somebody from the congregation who's going to tell you that they have followed this in their life and what has happened as a result of it. And then that person gives a testimony. Doesn't say, you need to do what I need to do, whatever. Just gives the testimony. And that is an incredibly powerful way of reemphasizing what is being said in the sermon. You know, I did what the pastor said. The reason I did it was because 2 weeks ago, pastor said he was going to preach on this topic. And he asked me to try this so that I could testify whether or not it was helpful. And I want to say to you, this is what happened to me. Well, I think that's very powerful. So
again, it's a very deliberate, and to the extent that you approach the person in advance several weeks ago, there's a planned, this isn't something you just spontaneously say, well, does anybody have a word of testimony? But it was planned as a thoughtful part of the service.
Yeah, and it could be something that you know this person, say you're talking about tithing. And it's one thing to hear it from a pastor, but another person says, you know, I didn't like the idea, and it was probably 40 years ago when somebody preached a similar series on tithing, and I heard, and so I thought I would try out, and here's my experience, you know. Well, that's just basically the person saying that they are in agreement with what the pastor has said, but people, you know, they tell about the hard times and the good times and how God has been faithful all along. That testimony is a re-emphasis in the response of obedience. That I would say that's not even the response of obedience. That's almost like saying God speaking to the people through his written word. It could be done prior to or after the sermon. A couple other ideas as to how to do it. I think that you can pick scripture and have a scripture reading. That's kind of a montage of scriptures from all over the Bible that say the very same thing that you have been saying, that either emphasize the response desired or people who did what you said in the scriptures, and the scriptures testify to what has been said. Music is an obvious thing. So in the response of obedience, you get a song that says exactly what you want said. I am going to obey you. I don't know what other people are going to do, God, but my choice is to do the following. So that becomes a musical way. I think, again, another way, and it doesn't tie together nearly as often as it could, would be through communion. This is what has been said during the message. I can capsulize it for you in these words, and so you do it in a sentence. Now we are coming to a time of communion, and I want to show you how what has been said in the sermon relates to what we're going to go through right now as a congregation, remembering what Jesus told us to remember about his broken body and his shed blood and so on. So you're tying all those pieces together. I think it's possible to do a reading. You know, there's all kinds of books that have been written. I mean, the number of Christian books is almost endless. And you don't have to do the readings. In fact, a lot of times I said when we were brainstorming, I said, who's read something about this? And the women especially would be people who read a lot of books I never read. And they would say, oh, there's a great illustration of that in the book by so-and-so I read. And then I say, show it to me, would you? And then I say, now, you know what? I want you to read these three paragraphs from this book or these five paragraphs, whatever, at the end of my sermon when it comes to response, where this person is giving testimony in her life that she did what I'm talking about. I've never met her. She's a bigger name than I am. But we can have you read and say to the people, so they're having it's coming multiple hits again. I'm getting this, and it's kind of like I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat you to death until finally you say, I'm willing to submit and do what you say because I think it's going to be good for me.